Perfect is impossible, so let's strive for better and betterer. Tune in for inspiration and mini challenges across the 8 dimensions of wellness: emotional, physical, intellectual, spiritual, vocational, financial, environmental, and social. We make wellness fun and attainable so that you can feel awesome and do awesome. And now, your host, Jessica Jake.
Hey everyone, this is Jessica Jake. I'm here today with Ethan Freckleton. He's a transitional and transformational life coach who's now focusing on coaching creatives. He's a published author, and he's here today to talk to us about putting yourself on a schedule. Welcome, Ethan.
Hey there, Jessica. Thanks for having me. It's exciting to finally get to talk to you on your podcast.
Yeah.
And talk about maybe unexpected transitions.
Yeah. Unexpected transitions. So I definitely had one of those recently myself. I was laid off from my full-time job in February. And I've had those other things happen before. So you talk about work transitions and some other kinds. Could you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah. So in my book, The Change Habit, I talk about unexpected transitions in life and making the most of them. For example, I've been laid off a handful of times, maybe 3 or 4 times. And I was divorced around the time I was laid off the first time. So that was kind of a double whammy. And we're talking about maybe 12, 13 years ago at this point. And what I found through the process of going through this is that those were really cleared the way for the best moments of growth and transformation for me personally. And starting to create a life for myself that I was happy and excited to be a part of.
That's great. It sounds like that ties into your concept of surviving versus thriving, right? So if you were making a life that you were really excited about, you were able to find that way to thrive. Can you share with us some of the things you learned?
Yeah. So, when we're heading into the time when I would have been going into the first layoff and my relationship wasn't doing well, I would definitely identify as I was in survival mode for probably 3 or 4 years heading into that, and feeling like I was really living to somebody else's values and goals. And I felt like I had to do the things that I was doing and they weren't for me. Really. So I spent a lot of time banging my head against the wall, trying to figure out, how do I make space and time for myself? How do I accomplish something that's exciting? Where do I find that time? Where do I find the money for that? Yeah. And so one of the gifts of an unexpected transition really is free time, like time for yourself. Suddenly there's an abundance of time. Like, I don't have a job. I'm not married. So who do I have to answer to for my time except for myself? And it's really the first time since I was in school that I had that opportunity, and with an adult lens, to really think about with clarity, what is it that I need? And I think the first answer I came up with was to prioritize myself and to say yes to myself first and start living that in action. And that was really kind of the first catalyst for a lot of growth.
Oh, that's great. It reminds me of something the Urban Monk says, which is, when you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So that really stuck with me. So I like that you're saying yes to yourself and be careful of the other yeses you're telling.
Yeah, absolutely. I spent 2 or 3 years practicing saying no and getting comfortable with that. And the results were really promising. A lot of great things happened in that span of time.
So I know no is a complete sentence, but are there other ways that you recommend saying no?
Well, I think about intentions a lot. And so it's easy for me to say yes or no if I know what my intentions are. And my intentions being, what is it that I need? What is it that I want to say yes to? And so if an opportunity comes up, we'll call it an opportunity. If somebody has a request, somebody wants something from me, somebody wants to collaborate, somebody wants to give me a job, I look at my list of intentions and I say, is this on the list? Is this going to get me closer to how I want to feel and be? Does it get me closer to those things, or does it take me further away? And if it takes me further away, then it's a no. And, you know, I can just say it doesn't work for me right now, or I'm busy, my plate is full. I'd love to, but I don't have time.
I love that. Those are great responses. My mom is one who loves to say, absolutely not. I just can't do it.
Yes. Yes. It was so exciting. I was facilitating a group this week and witnessed this moment. I was like roaming the room and I witnessed this moment. People were having one-on-ones and somebody made a request to another person and it was just met gracefully, but right there, authoritatively, no.
Nope. I could do the just no, like period, but yeah. I can't put that absolutely in front of it. And I find in this transition for myself too, I fluctuate with between what I call like the bill zone and the belief zone. And
I love that.
So the one thing that keeps me in check is I ask myself, are you playing to win or are you playing not to lose? And that's the thing, because I can make this whole list of excuses of why such and such opportunity is something I should go for. But typically, the longer the list of reasons that you're making is because you're really justifying something to yourself and you're selling out again. So, yeah, so that keeps me in check. And I like the way you said that you have this and you look at your intentions and you look at the list of what you want to do and if it doesn't match up. So it reminded me of that kind of way that I put myself in check. Too.
Yeah, I love that, the bill versus belief zone. And, you know, it was a process for me to develop that belief. And it was 3 years into my first transition, and I had another layoff because 2008, that whole thing happened. And I worked in software, similar to you. I worked at a startup at the time. This time, I was a little more prepared mentally and emotionally for what might happen and looking at it more as an opportunity. But it was on the heels of that that I was able to develop belief by trying, right? By enlisting others and asking for what I needed or what I wanted and offering partnership and things that were going to work for me and work for other people. And that's where really it's a big lesson that there is community out there for you that will support you in your goals. If it's about, you know, that rising tide, you know, it's making my life better. And I'm also in service to others in some way that it just works out in exciting, interesting ways that you can do it without a lot of resources, even that goodwill is a resource just as much as money is.
I love that. Goodwill is a resource just as much as money is. Wow. Yeah. Do you have tips on finding your community or tribe?
I think it really helps to know what you want and what you want to create. And I find that if I show up as my best self, my authentic self, and I'm putting it out there and I'm communicating, that means being visible. I'm being seen, being myself, putting out there what it is that I want to attract. And I'm doing something, that means I'm not being passive. I'm doing something in the process that kind of magnetizes, right, other people who are on the same path. And you find your tribe. I've definitely found my tribe in that process, which is really exciting. Because if you go to work, you know, workplace or maybe some place in town, the odds of running into somebody who has the same kind of goals for life as you do might be pretty small. But if you're going out there, you kind of start collecting these people. And
yeah, I think I have to get out of my house more because I I work in my loft, and I live in the most beautiful part of San Diego. Like, it's kind of downtown in Marina, right by the bay. And I could spend the whole day like working and be like, oh, crud, I didn't get outside. And I was thinking recently too, like, even if I get out and walk over to Gas Lamp or just, you know, see who I meet, see who I talk to.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I imagine that, you know, in the aftermath of a layoff, right? That you maybe had a little more time to explore your surroundings and get out.
But to get out to think and synthesize all the stuff I'm working on is magical, or just to go up and do the work up on the roof instead of inside. So it's, I get sucked down these rabbit holes and I'm productive, but I'm indoors and I'm like, wait, this is a shame. That was one of the minuses having to go into work, was I was inside all day and it was freezing. And meanwhile, it was like magically warm outside. And I kind of, you know, doing the same thing to myself inadvertently.
Yes. Yes. All of that. It's amazing how much work we do when we're not at the computer, isn't it? Like, I find that, like, if I get outside and I nurture myself with a walk, or I get outside and I'm just out there with other people, like, the ideas come easier. It's easier to sit down and move forward on whatever I'm working on from a productivity, bill-paying standpoint. It's like, productivity doesn't stop away from the keyboard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I've learned to just trust that it will come and it will come together. So I had a speaking gig that I just did. And I think it was it was early April that I had to present. And it wasn't really till the end of March that I put it all to paper. But it was based on something else I had created. But I was like reconfiguring it because I was doing it for the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor. So I want to make it more funny and have a different angle and add more humor-based interventions, et cetera. So I had the knowledge in there, but I didn't like output it out into like a fun package to later in the game. But I trusted that it would come, and like being out and about or away or on a plane or in the country, it helped the process. So I know it's true. I just have to like maybe set an alarm, set my Alexa to remind me to just get outside.
Well, that sounds amazing, actually. And where was the speaking gig at?
Oh, it was in Chicago. There's an awesome association. So everyone should write this down too. It's the Association of Applied and Therapeutic Humor. And they've been doing all the research on humor and health and certifications on humor and science. And they had neuroscientists come in.
Wow.
Sorts of experts. And so it was a really fun group. And when you talk about finding your tribe, I've joined a lot of Facebook groups, and I know we're in one together and that people really support each other there. This one, I have never seen anything like this. I joined their group and suddenly like a million friends requests. I have like so many more friends on Facebook now.
And yeah.
It's all these people who appreciate like helping through humor, but also understanding they were helping people who are dying of cancer and people with really severe sicknesses, and a lot of them going into the hospitals. And so that line too, between like when there's something under a joke and things like that, like, so it's very, there's a lot of substance there. It's not just all fun and games and jokes. So it's wonderful, wonderful group of people. And you know, that was amazing for me. I'm blown away by it.
Wow. That sounds really fun, actually. What I love about that is like there's the fun element to it. You're talking about the tribe element, that there's a craft to doing this work and that it has a benefit for others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which is, these are all like things that light me up.
Right. It all feeds, it energizes so much good, because then it helps you too, because you light yourself up too.
Yeah.
I did presentation, they're laughing. So I'm like, okay, good. I guess I'm funny, but I don't know if it helped them. But a lot of people come up after and say that they like what I packaged, et cetera. So it's like, okay, they got a benefit beyond just a few laughs, right?
Yeah. That's amazing. I know people can tell when you're keeping your own cup full. It just shows when you're walking down the street and people are open to you or smile at you for no reason, versus being perhaps in a brooding and feeling like just totally burned out and empty, right?
That is so, so, so true. And I was one of the ones who walked among the dead. I was one of those working stiffs, overworked, overwhelmed, no hope for a compelling future other than some other sellout job. You know, so it's possible, because I am now one of those shiny eyed people that I do get smiled at for no reason, and people are always complimenting me on my energy, and I'm just like, really? You know, so I love it. So
yeah,
I think there might be people listening who feel like that. Like, what are you talking about? Like, nice, good for you and Ethan, but how do I get some of that? Do you have any advice?
Whatever it is you need, just figure out. Like, time is going to be limited. Money is going to be limited. We're busy. We're in the midst of it. Jobs, like, always demand time. Family, rightfully so, demands time, but maybe there's traffic, just constantly on the go. And it's like, just flipping the switch a little bit, even 5 minutes at a time. Like, if you use calendars, right? Like, the calendar is so powerful. It's like, can I put myself on my schedule today? Right? Can I give myself 15 minutes? Can I give myself a lunch break? Can I, instead of taking my coffee break to go, why, you know, talk about the things that are bothering me at work, you know, or the opportunity to talk to people and hear about what's bothering them, maybe just stepping out for a few minutes and feeding, nourishing self something that's positive and life-giving, maybe like fresh air, walk, or doodling, or listening to a podcast that's inspirational, just something that's adding energy to the day, to your day, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's wonderful. And so is that step one of putting yourself on a schedule?
Well, step one is probably being aware of what's sucking energy away and what's making you feel more energized. And step two then is making sure that there's time every day on the calendar for energizing or recharging your battery. Yeah. And then other people notice that. Like, I remember I've been in the hallways, the land of the zombies, you know, in corporate setting where it, you know, feels like 8 in 10 people are just struggling to keep the lights on, struggling to find joy. Being in that situation where I'm giving to myself and nurturing, and instead of doing meetings with people in an office room, I take people for meetings for a walk around the block or go outside, right? Like, people notice and gives people permission to maybe be a little lighter.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, my daughter Thea is talking about how she opens every meeting with a quote or a, yeah, I guess like a little quote or a thought. And she says just be careful what she picks though, because then people could derail the whole meeting if people get too too into it. But
yeah,
she says that's been great. And I love that, the walking meetings, getting outside. And yeah, we both had experiences with like these corporate or not even so corporate companies that were the what you call it, the zombies or land of the dead. But there are ones out there that are making a point to help people connect with their purpose and
yeah,
be inspired at work. And I was just at one recently that was just like amazing. Had so much good stuff going on in terms of, I would just say, just felt like a safe, fun, creative place, but also had a lot of workplace wellness stuff and the treadmill desks. And so I don't want to bash every org, but
no, it's up to, you know, whether people are modeling values and intentions around making others feel good and being joyful or not, you know, work, the same work can be joyful or drudgery. It just depends on whether you're surrounded with joy and humor and tribe, you know, sanity, right?
Right.
And the thing that made it so hard for me to be in the settings that I was at times was just seeing the potential in everybody, seeing the talent, seeing the passions that are there. And you know, they're not on their schedule, you know, seeing people aren't on their schedule and just, yeah, joyless. It's rough. It's rough to be around. And, you know, kind of give me a sense of mission that I want to help people turn that switch back on, you know, just give permission that it's okay to give to yourself. It's okay to be happy with your choices. You're not going to magically become unemployed. I like the movie Office Space. Have you seen Office Space?
Yes. And my nephew watches it every single year on his birthday since he was 16.
I think the genius of that movie is there's an element of truth to it. And I did the software thing for 20 years. And I've seen enough examples of this, and I lived it in the second half of my software career, the same thing, that when I lost the fear of being fired, like I knew what my worth was. I had reconfigured my life that like I could live on less if I needed to, right? Like when I lost that fear of getting fired, I showed up fully. And when I showed up fully, right, even though work wasn't my top priority, suddenly I started getting rewarded more, right? My career took off. At that point, when I no longer cared about my career is when my career took off, because I was happy. I was showing up happy and fully.
Yeah.
And that's what I saw right in the Office Space, right? The guy didn't care anymore. And suddenly they wanted to make him a manager. Really funny.
It is really funny. Yeah. Getting people out of fear of being fired or getting in trouble and allowing them to like use that bigger, better part of their brain that lets them be more creative and innovative and socially connected. It's a win for everybody all around.
Yeah. And gosh, you know, I'm sorry if you're at a place where you're not rewarded or you're actively punished for showing up. You know, that's a rough thing. And I just, you know.
I would say that
happens. It does happen.
It does happen. And one of the lines I draw is like, is this a predatory company or a predatory capitalistic company versus symbiotic? And it has to be symbiotic. You need that. You need to be somewhere. There's enough companies out there, especially now. There's more and more conscious capitalism. And that's just one focus of like, okay, we're conscious capitalists, but you know how they treat employees day to day. Is it toxic or is it safe? And what the culture's like and all that. And there is better out there. It's not just the grass is always greener syndrome. So if you are really stuck there, I would say just make that plan to get out because you don't.
Yeah. And the next time you have an opportunity to say no to that, you know, trust that by saying no, you're making space for the things that are going to be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was somewhat baffled at me once because I told him it was the owner of the company at an agency as that. And he's, you know, wanted me to do something and basically drop what I was doing and help him. I'm like, no. And he took what? I'm like, well, this site is launching today. It was only a WordPress site. So it was something that said dump tons of content in by the time it launched. And I was like, if I stop doing this, it's not going to be done. Like, so I will do that next. And the person next to me was like, I can't believe you just told him no. But it was like, but it's the same thing. If I say yes to you, then I'm saying no to launching on time to a client that paid us and this is the day and we've been promising them. So it goes over as long as you let them know and you let them know they'll be next, if that makes sense in those priorities to be next, then and they'll take it.
Yeah. When you create boundaries, right, you're also creating predictability. And when you have that, you're kind of safer to work with in a way. Like, I know what I'm going to get when you say yes.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I've even heard of companies when we talk about boundaries that in the interview for the job, they ask how many hours of sleep you get. And if you aren't getting like at least 8, they won't hire you. At least 8. If you're not getting the right amount, I think they say it's between 7 and 9 people need, and you need to figure out what your number is and get that. And
basically,
if people aren't getting enough sleep, they're not going to be at their peak performance and they just want to know part.
That's great. And I hope they let people come in later then if they need it. Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome.
I need to get my sleep quota.
Sleep is so amazing.
Yeah, it's everything looks better after some good rest.
Yes.
Or you just wake up with answers. It's kind of cool.
That can happen, yeah.
Great. All right. So any other tips on putting yourself on a schedule. I know you're talking about figuring out, taking that time to figure out what's important to yourself and then putting that time on and to do the things that give you that positive energy. Are there any goals that we should have?
Well, just thinking about goals, it's important to note, I think, that there's two distinctly different types of goals, and they're both okay, right? Like we have goals that relate to actions we take that have a tangible outcome, right? Like I'm going to sell this thing, right? I'm going to show up at work and I'm going to make X dollars, right? Like there's action involved, there's status. And sometimes you need that, right? Like you've somehow got to push forward because you need to live. But the things that we don't always create goals around is goals about our internal state of being, right? Like goals around managing our emotional existence. How do I want to feel every day? So that's why I talk about managing energy a lot and doing things that add to your battery, because that is a goal. You don't have energy to spend if you're not putting energy in. And so if you're putting yourself on a calendar, I think the first step is to make sure that you're charging your battery first before you go spending your energy on whatever else you're doing.
Great. That sounds like a challenge for the listeners. What do you think?
I think it's a great challenge. Yeah. And it's a rewarding one. Right?
Cool. All right. So if we're challenging the listeners, and this also includes me all the time too, it's a 2-week challenge generally. And is it like every single day they need to block off that time to do something that creates happiness?
Yeah, I think so. One of my clients, I loved what they did. They set a reminder and they scheduled something daily, but they had a reminder, daily reminder, you know, be on your schedule, you know, do something today. You know, whatever the day looks like, find that little space of time.
Excellent. I love it. Yeah, the reminders are so, so key because it'll make you actually do it. And if you have an Alexa, you can make it really fun. Like I have her sometimes, this is your reminder to wake up and be a beast.
Yes, I could use the reminder, you know. Okay, you're going to put yourself on the schedule and you're not going to look at your schedule. Don't look at your schedule yet. Thanks, Alexa.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you. Oh my God, did you hear that?
I did. What timing?
Well, part of my talk actually mentioned her, and it was torture to try to rehearse that in front of her.
Somebody's ready to be on the schedule.
Yeah. So, great. So, okay. So you have a book, and I'll put a link to this in the show notes. It's called The Change Habit, A Simple Guide to Making the Most of an Unexpected Transition. But it sounds like it would help people even when they're not transitioning. Is that true?
Absolutely. Yeah. But in the book, it's kind of half memoir and half activity book. So I talk from my personal experience to this kind of structure and system that I have and talk about how I used it. And if it works for you, then I have exercises for you to tap into that system and find some personal benefit.
Excellent. And I see there's a free ebook version if you sign up for the newsletter. So I'll put that link in the show notes as well.
Yes, there is. It's available in ebook and paperback. But if you don't want to pay for it, you can have it for free. Just come to my website and sign up for my newsletter.
Excellent.
If you do, I would just really encourage people that accountability is such an important first step and it's free. Just email me. Let me know you got the book and I'm happy to cheerlead for you.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And whether you buy it outright or get the ebook, it would be cool to put a review on the main link.
Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent. And then as far as coaching goes, you do one-on-one and group, or tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So I primarily do one-on-one coaching. I'm happy to help people lay down the foundations for for a thriving life, you know, if you feel like you're in that state of surviving right now, but you recognize for yourself what the stakes are, and you're personally invested in saying yes to yourself, and you're ready to be on your calendar, you're ready to think about what it is that you want to put into the world and give yourself, then I'm here to help. I am personally a creative person, so part of giving to myself is indulging in my creativity. And so I also niche down and work with creatives on many steps of the creative journey.
That sounds perfect, because some people, you know, the creatives tend to be really all over the place, which is what makes them awesome at being creative.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and when I grew up, creatives didn't have the opportunities they had today. Conventional wisdom was, you're not going to make money. You're not going to make a living. You're not going to be able to put food on the table. These things just aren't true today in today's economy. I can help educate people on the creative journey and what it looks like these days. And I help people find role models and peers and mentors so that you can learn like how things are actually working today. If you've always wanted to be an illustrator, the opportunities are out there. If you've always wanted to tell your stories, the opportunities are out there. It just takes patience and engaging with others to find the way.
If someone's listening and they're thinking like, well, but there's no money in that, and I'd have to be a starving artist, or I'd be selling out. Like,
no, absolutely. Yes. There are ways, whether or not it's right for you, there are ways forward.
Nice. Great. So thank you so, so much for joining us today. It was so wonderful chatting with you.
It was a pleasure, Jessica. Thank you for having me.
We'll get everything up on Better. Well, by the time everyone's listening, we'll have resources up on betterandbetterer.com/9. And please chat Ethan. You want them to email you?
Yeah, email's great. I am on Instagram, ethan.freckleton. Ton of freckles.
Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, hit us up on Instagram with everything you're up to, because I want to see what you guys put on your schedule and how much happiness that created.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Great. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Be well.
Thanks for listening. Show notes are online at betterandbetterer.com. Find a buddy to try out this episode's challenge. We want to hear how it goes. So hit us up on Instagram at betterandbetterer.